live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters. You're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hello out there, gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The Big Show. This is Scott McKay coming at you from X and Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that, I don't know how we've escaped having so many shows not having talked about this. But as we move more into the how to be a great man space, I think it's becoming more apparent that this is just a hot topic. It's sort of like an elephant in the room with a lot of guys that we don't even really talk about ever with each other, with our girlfriends, with our wives. It's just something that I think a lot of guys just silently struggle with. And I know it's starting to sound like some crazy addiction or something, but really it's making friends with other guys. How do you make male friends? And I have a guest with me today. His name is Kyle Ingham. He's coming from the Bay Area in California. He is the head honcho over at thedistilledman.com, which is a pretty cool site for guys that you should visit. And I want to welcome him. Kyle, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks a lot for having me, Scott.
Now, you and I have actually met and hung out in person. I know for a fact you're a super cool dude. And I've actually seen you give a seminar on this whole topic of how guys can make friends with other guys. And I want to kick off this conversation with you by throwing a statistic out. And here I am. I don't have a way to actually cite this. If you look it up on Google, I'm sure you can find it. I'm just remembering this right now off the top of my head. The average number of self-described close friends. Okay, the average number of close friends that an American man has is zero. In other words, the number is closer to zero than one on average. I think that's a crazy statistic. I mean, after we go through our childhood, after we go through college roommates, fraternities, whatever it is we go through in life, most grown men in the United States have an average of zero close friends. I mean, I'm sure we have lots of acquaintances and so forth, but man, what do you make of this? Why is it so hard for us to make friends with other guys, Kyle? Or is it really smoke and mirrors? Is it, maybe that's a misleading statistic. I'll let you riff on that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, there's a lot of stats out there and it's hard to say if it's zero or, I've heard everything from zero to like 1.7 or something. But the net is that it's pretty bad because there's always been that sort of, that stereotype, oh, guys aren't great about, making and keeping close friends, and women are so much better because they're sort of nurturers. And I mean, when you dig deep into it, you look at the stats, you're right. It's absolutely true. I think there's a lot about this discussion that gets pretty deep when you look at it. What's interesting, though, is if you kind of rewind to when we were all kids, we didn't have this problem. You could go up to a kid on the playground, another guy, and be like, hey, will you be my best friend? And it was instant, you became friends. And for some reason, as we get older, this changes, and I think there's a lot of theories that I've heard out there. One of the things is like, as we go through puberty, we start to, first of all, we want to try to become men ultimately, right? And I think as part of that, we start to try to avoid anything that seems feminine. So that idea of sort of making ourselves vulnerable and reaching out is something we kind of stay away from. And I think the other thing that happens when we grow up is that, we go through puberty, we got all these crazy hormones rushing through our bodies, we're starting to get interested in girls, we get acne, high school is crazy for everybody. And I think we start to see other guys as competition. And, it almost becomes this Darwinistic thing where, we see these other guys, it's kind of a binary thing. Like, are we strong enough to beat them up, and or are we going to be the ones to get the nubile mate? We kind of revert to this lower state almost.
Yeah, I think that's all very interesting. I was listening to you talk. My son is 8 years old, and, his entire childhood, he's been able to walk up to other kids, even in other countries, because we world school our kids. It doesn't matter. It's local. He races BMX. Anywhere he goes, he can just go up to other kids and go, hey, you want to play? Or, hey, you want to be friends? And the other kid's like, sure, And even in third grade, that's still fair game. And it's interesting how you were kind of demarcating puberty as this point.
Yeah, it's funny. And related to that, I actually had this hilarious comment on, because I wrote an article on this, on my blog. And a fairly recent comment that I got that just really made me laugh was there was this guy who he said basically that same sentiment of why can't we do what we did when we were kids? And he said, I'm 36. If another guy came up to me and said, hey, we should be friends, then I'd pee my pants excited, which is, you know, it's funny, but I mean, it's true. I think secretly as adults, all of us guys are just like, can we just cut the crap? We all need friendship. So why is it such a taboo thing to go and ask another adult man, you know, to hang out?
Well, I think a big part of it, you know, I mentioned the elephant in the room, other than, hey, we don't have any friends, which is the one I was alluding to earlier, is that, you know, if you go up to a guy and initiate contact with them and say, hey, I want to spend time with you, it feels like what we do with women. It feels like us approaching a woman and asking her out. So I'm wondering if there's kind of a homophobia there, like we're afraid we're going to look gay, or we're afraid this guy's going to think we're hitting on him, and it feels like hitting on him. It's just kind of weird to the male psyche, maybe in part because of what you already said, Kyle, about, hey, you know, we see other guys as competition. We turn our attention more towards girls and how we're going to talk to them, how we're going to approach them. And I don't know if we ever really snap out of that. And so it might be a combination of both of those factors.
Yeah, it's really interesting because even if you consider yourself, you know, somewhat open to that type of interaction in theory, you know, as a man, if you're in a bar and some guy comes up to you, you do have this moment of panic a lot of times. I've even had it myself where I'm thinking, okay, does he have the wrong idea? Is he going to hit on me? And then, of course, usually that's not the case. And usually it's just a nice guy wanting to make conversation. I think the real heart of it is that this is like a transaction that as heterosexual men or as men in general, we don't practice. You know, that was one of the insights that I found from just checking in with my audience. Cause I, you know, when I wrote an article about this, I polled my audience. I wanted to get real feedback from real guys in addition to my research. And one of the things that came up that really struck me and really struck a chord with me was these guys were saying, listen, all throughout my life or my adult life, I practiced talking to women. And it was something that just seemed natural after puberty, you know, after I got interested in girls and into college, I was always trying to practice talking to women. But the idea of practicing talking to men in a friendship setting was not something that I'd ever thought of. And a lot of these guys who mentioned that really mentioned it as something that left them with a deficit. And it seems so natural when you step back and look at it, you know, making friends and, you know, talking to people is a skill that can be learned like anything else. And, you know, we spend all this time learning how to talk to women, you know, learning from our failures. You know, it's like, this didn't work, I'm going to try something else. We spend all this time kind of learn from those little failures with women, but we don't think of it the same way with men. You know, I've heard from many guys who either, you know, they've been married for a while or they get divorced or they, you know, they move to a new city and they're sort of reevaluating their lives in adulthood and realizing that they haven't really made an effort to meet good guy friends.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's universal. Now, if you go to other countries, however, I think in part because people socialize with each other more, even around the neighborhood, and they're used to seeing other people, I think guys don't necessarily have this problem in maybe some of the developing countries. Now, it's well known that in countries like Japan and Western Europe and say the UK, that this problem exists there also. But I think when you're used to having people around and maybe, you know, a little bit of that whole factor of people are more transparent when they don't have a first world culture to hide behind, you know, the whole I'm fine, how are you thing. You know, that combination of men being around each other socially more often in a relaxed state, not necessarily working with each other, but being around each other in the neighborhood. And also, you know, everybody's problems are pretty much transparent. So that whole idea of, you know, I'm going to put on airs and be better than you, it kind of goes out the door. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think in a lot of other cultures, and this is probably a whole nother, you know, topic in itself, the idea of masculinity is a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of other cultures where there's not that worry of homophobia where, and obviously that's really different from, you know, here in the States. But I think it really opens your eyes to the fact that there's not a fundamental barrier to guys sort of being more vulnerable with each other and being more, you say the word intimate, and it's not necessarily a bad word.
you know, it's like men have lost touch with each other, whereas in some of these developing countries, men are still around each other all the time. But we kind of go home to suburbia and hide in our house with our wife or even with our video game machine. And meanwhile, these other places, it never got lost. And I'm sort of thinking maybe here in the United States and in other more developed countries nowadays, it's just like we've forgotten. It's become something that's a casualty of modernity.
It really is. I mean, it is a casualty of modernity. As we get older as adult men, our lives do become fragmented, especially here in the U.S. You know, like you said, a lot of times we're going home to suburbia. You know, maybe we work all day, work long and hard. And, you know, maybe we have some relationships there at work, but we leave those and we go home at the end of the day. And a lot of times maybe we have a long commute in another city. And, you know, our lives are just filled up with all these other little parts of our lives, like soccer practice, you know, the kids, a recital, you know, maintaining our relationship with our wives, which is great. But a lot of times that doesn't leave room for simple male friendships. So we're not proactively seeking that out. And what's funny is I've actually talked to a lot of guys about this, and there's a few guys who are actually okay with this idea of kind of settling into, you know, kind of settling into their own lives, that they recognize that their social circles have shrunken over time. And it's not a big deal for them. They say, well, I've had, you know, most of the same friends since I was in college. You know, on the weekends, I'd pretty much rather hang out with those one or two guys, my wife, my kids, maybe barbecue in the backyard. And that's enough for me. If a guy is really happy with that, I think that's fine. But it's such a change from when we were younger. And like you said, such a change from other cultures where maybe there's more of a community aspect. And I think what a lot of guys find that they miss on the other end of the spectrum, when they realize that they feel sort of, you know, lonely or they have this lack of connection, is they're not getting the chance to get out there and meet people with different ideas or who aren't necessarily, don't necessarily think the way that they do. That's one of the beauties of when you're younger and all of us are kind of thrown into the melting pot of school, is that you're constantly meeting new people who aren't necessarily the same as you. And that's where great friendships can blossom.
You know, high school, we have a bunch of people, male and female, around us. You almost have to make friends by default, whether you want to or not. And then you go to college, same thing. And then it's well documented that there's this letdown after one graduates from college, especially if one's particularly social, where you go out and you get a job and you're in the real world. And it's like, where did everybody go? You know?
Yeah.
Everybody left me. We all went in separate directions. And sure, Facebook is wonderful for keeping up with people who you've always known, but it's hard to call that a real close friendship if you're only checking in with people on Facebook. And that's another whole rabbit hole that we can go down.
It is, absolutely. I think some people forget that seeing someone's status update and seeing, you know, pictures of what's going on in someone's life is not the same as, you know, sitting across from them, having a beer with them, catching up and really, really talking, you know?
Yet we freely make that cheap substitution daily. It's like we interact with far more people than we ever could and certainly did before Facebook existed. But now that we have that option, it's like, okay, look, I liked somebody's post and now I don't have to talk to them for a couple months.
Right. And let's be honest. I mean, Facebook is perfect for, you know, keeping up with, you know, those people that you'd probably never connect with otherwise, you know, people from high school who, you know, it's nice to see what's going on in their lives, but you probably wouldn't make the effort. That's an important point too, is that, you know, it's not about quantity of friends. It's about those few quality relationships that really kind of give back to you.
Yeah, of course. I absolutely agree with you. You can have lots of acquaintances. I mean, I have almost 5,000 Facebook friends, and I was looking through the list the other day and I know all of them. I literally know who these people are. I may not know them very well. I may not have ever met them in real life, thanks to the magic of telecommunications, but I do know who they are. But in terms of them being close friends who I can confide in and who I would do anything for, and they would do anything for me, and we're not going to judge each other and, you know, not let each other down. And that's how I'm defining close friendship, by the way. We didn't even go there. I mean, what does this even mean, right? But male friends who, like, if I've got a problem, I can call them and they've got my back, vice versa. Someone just to talk about what's going on with, who's male, who you can trust, someone who's on your team, you know? You know, I think those people are the ones who are few and far between for most men.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. And it's funny because most people think that close men's relationships are going to be different from close women's relationships. But I mean, there's a lot of research out there that shows that what men want in close relationships is very similar to what women want. Like you said, being able to confide in someone, being able to kind of share what you're going through, being able to just know that what you're experiencing isn't foreign. You know, other guys are going through it, and just have that camaraderie.
Yeah, I think that's very important. One thing that I think is an important footnote to add to that conversation about how we all graduate from college and then it seems like we're alone is we also kind of grow apart from people as we get more mature, as we get into different things, as our career takes a certain path. We may get married and we may become a father, whereas some of our friends from the past didn't do those things. One of my best friends from high school, I don't think ever grew up. I mean, you look at him on Facebook, you see what he's talking about, you see how he talks, his whole manner of phrasing things, and he still seems like he's 17 years old.
He still skateboards to work.
Something like that. Not that there's anything wrong with
it. No.
But I'm a very different person nowadays, and it seems like he's still where he was. Now, I'm not saying I'm better than him or I'm more mature and I'm somehow more sophisticated or anything like that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, you know, he and I are a lot different from each other nowadays, where we were a lot more similar when we were a lot younger. It's just a matter of the twists and turns that life takes you on. But I think that's another phenomenon that almost invariably happens in our adulthood, especially relative to our friends from the past. What do you think?
No, absolutely agree. And I think one of the pitfalls that a lot of guys experience a lot of times is they expect that initial effort that they made in high school or college in terms of actually going out to meet new people and make friends is going to sustain them into adulthood. And I think, you know, I've talked to, a lot of guys and also some other, you know, relationship and networking experts, and we sort of disagree on this a little bit, completely refreshing your friends and maybe pushing out some of those folks who aren't serving you as well in your current life. And I feel a little bit differently about that, but I agree on one point that you do need to always kind of look for, what are my interests now? You know, are there people who share those interests now? Because you can't expect that, you know, the same person that you were best buddies with in high school is going to be best buddies with you when you're 42. You've changed. And it doesn't mean that you need to stop calling that person or stop liking their posts on Facebook or unfriend them, but I think the key thing is that you can't stop trying to make new friends just because you did it well in high school or college.
Well, indeed, if you look at most people's Facebook profiles and look at their list of friends, you know, I can pick out somebody from high school or college and half their friends list I'm friends with too, because, you know, everybody's from high school.
Right.
All the people they know even now in their 40s. Are people from high school, and the other half are people from college, and they just went to a different college than I did. It's amazing. It's family members, college classmates, high school classmates, and maybe 10 other random people.
Right. You
know, for most people. And that is really, really fascinating to me. Now, there's one thing you mentioned there that I think is absolutely mission critical to talk about, and that's the whole idea of finding men who have a common interest as you. I happen to think, Kyle, that's the holy grail of making really close male friendships as an adult. You know, some guys just don't have a hobby. They don't have anything they do. They come home and, you know, like you said earlier, you know, they hang out with their wife and their wife's their best friend and they have kids and, you know, then they have to go to work and that kind of fills their life. Some guys just don't even see the need to have male friends. And I think that was a brilliant point you made earlier. But for those guys who do want friends, the best way, I think, is to get involved in some activity where you and the other dudes have this unique bond around a common interest. That's why you see guys who maybe play sports. Some of the players on teams become really, really close buddies. You know, back when DeAndre Jordan was a free agent a couple years ago and he was thinking about going to the Dallas Mavericks, three or four of his Clipper buddies basically crashed his house and played video games with him until he agreed to sign back up with them. You know, those are your close buddies who are crashing your house saying, hey, come on, man, come back and play with us. And they have that bond, that team bond. They're teammates. Therefore, they become friends. They've been to war together. I mean, you know, the veteran of foreign wars, the American Legion, all of these clubs are guys who went to war together and they have that bond together. You know, my dad's a legionnaire and, you know, they sit there and literally tell war stories. You get into racing things. You get into riding mountain bikes with guys. And you have bench racing sessions, and you get to know these guys because you like doing what they do. And then all of a sudden, that awkwardness of making friends with these guys disappears because now, dare I say it, you have an excuse to get closer to these men. Church groups, Lions Club, things like that. The service clubs, church groups, men of faith, you know, tend to get together and have prayer meetings, and that builds a bond between men and gives them, you know, what I will call a reasonable excuse to make friends with other guys. There's no awkwardness of feeling like you're being hit on, or why does this guy, you know, want to hang out with me? Is he trying to sell me something? You know, that's the other thing. You have a good, solid reason. It's built in when you have a common bond together. Now, when I lived in Arizona, I was really into riding sport bikes, and I made friends with all these guys who had, you know, FZRs and GSXRs and Kawasaki Ninjas, and we all rode around together. And some of those guys are still dear friends of mine. And it all started because we all liked the same kind of motorcycle. This to me seems like the default way to make friends when you're in your adulthood.
I absolutely agree. I think it's one of the easiest tactics for making great friends. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier. You know, what's funny is when a lot of people talk about men's issues having friends, a lot of times the critics will say, well, when guys do have friends, they're just sort of subject specific and it's very shallow. But like you said, with all those examples, I mean, I think the truth is friendships start based on common interests. And then a lot of times, because of that common interest, it'll be a jumping off point for a more meaningful relationship.
Exactly. It opens the door.
It opens the door. And one of the reasons that this is such a great strategy is because opening that initial door is so easy because of that common interest. And like you said, it completely removes any sort of other pretense or any worry that, are they going to try to sell something to me? Are they going to try to hit on me? And the best thing about it is that when you're going deep on something that you're interested in, if you're really immersing yourself in a subject like racing bikes, or whether it's that or music or, you know, cooking, that's when you're most yourself anyway. So I think that's kind of a beautiful thing as well, because maybe you joined that club, you joined the Lions Club or joined Toastmasters or joined the sports club because you like that thing. You know, you like sports or you like racing bikes or whatever on the surface. So maybe when you looked at it, when you planned to join that organization, you thought, gosh, I do want to meet some new people, meet some new guy friends. But immediately when you get there, you're immersed in that activity. And it takes your mind off the fact that, hey, I want to make new friends. Because let's face it, there's, you know, a lot of people out there who are trying to make friends. And you see this a lot in the dating world as well. If someone is really, really, really anxious to get a date or to, you know, get a girlfriend or something like that, a lot of times they come across a little over anxious. And I see this with guys who have no male friends as well. If all they're doing is thinking about how, wow, I really need to make a friend, sometimes you can come off a little too strong. So I think that's the beautiful thing about, you know, focusing on a common interest and just immersing yourself in that.
Right. If you start looking needy and creepy when you're making friends with other guys, ultimately, Kyle, I think that's the big fear we all dread, is coming off like that. So when you have this common interest that all of us are doing together as guys, then that's where the friendships start. Like you said, it's a jumping off point. What I got to thinking while you were talking was, it also kind of needs to be a guy thing. You know, like I went and played lacrosse again a few years ago and met some great guys that way. Being into motorcycles, I used to be into bicycle motocross racing, and, you know, all the adult guys who do that are all kind of together, you know, and we started a team and everything. And all those guys, a lot of them are still friends with me today, and some of them are pretty close friends. And I'm thinking, you know, if it's a co-ed event, a co-ed interest, it's not as likely to result in close male friendships, because there really is something to this male bonding in particular, isn't there? Because, like, for example, Emily and I like to go hiking, and there's lots of great guys out there, and there are a lot of really cool women, and it's about 50-50. And interestingly enough, I really haven't bonded with a lot of the guys out there. I mean, I know them by name, but we haven't gone out and had a beer because the women are there. So it kind of almost becomes a big, more nebulous social event for everybody rather than this purpose-built opportunity for men to make deep friendships. So there really is something about it being a guy thing that makes the guy friendship stronger.
I totally agree. I mean, that happens on a couple levels. I mean, one, when you have a co-ed event, there's always someone else who has a different agenda. Maybe there is a guy or a girl who's looking to meet a romantic partner. So automatically, not everyone has the same objective in the gathering. So that can be a little bit of a distraction. But on the other level, I think there's just something fundamental about guys just hanging out and being guys. You know, for one, I think it frees guys up to maybe be a little more relaxed. Again, they're not distracted by trying to meet a girl, but they might be more relaxed in terms of things that they might be willing to share. Maybe they, you know, wouldn't normally want to talk about something they're going through, something difficult that they're going through, because in front of a woman, they might feel like they're being, they're being less than manly or something like that. But maybe if they start to get comfortable around these other guys, they are more comfortable sharing things, maybe talking about an issue that they're having with a woman, and guys can give them counsel.
You know, I think that's the moment when two guys realize they've actually made friends with each other, is when there's something that involves being vulnerable and the guy trusts the other guy with it. You know, I need you on my team, man. You know,
totally.
I need this. I have a need for dudes right now. I want your input on this. What would you do if you were me? When you have a moment like that with a guy, it proves to you that he is on your team. You know, when you look at other guys, one of two things are going to happen. Our male instinct kicks in and it's like, okay, is this guy a friend or a foe? The whole idea of shaking hands was born of the idea of, I'm showing you I'm unarmed. I'm offering you my right hand empty. I'll shake your hand. Both of us don't have a gun, so we're not going to kill each other. You know, right. that's the universal symbol of, hey, I'm friendly. And we look at a guy in the eyes and we say, okay, is this guy going to try to attack me and be an adversary to me? Or are he and I going to be able to build an alignment together?
Right.
So like when we sit down with people and we're doing business, or, you know, politicians sit down at some kind of summit or accord and they're trying to put together a treaty, you know, that's the typical way that men interact. An interesting thing that I heard once is if a man makes prolonged eye contact with another human being, he either wants to beat the hell out of him or have sex with him. It's one or the other. You know what I mean?
And sometimes both.
Sometimes both, right? I've actually known women like that. That inspired that kind of thought in me. Of course, I would never lay a finger on a woman, but you know, there's something about grudge sex, isn't there? And so this whole idea of, is this guy going to be my competition or is he going to be on my side, is very much a primal, dare I say, archetypal thing in men. But see, if we don't make friends, then when we deal with all of our adversaries, which is pretty inevitable unless you've completely insulated yourself, which, I mean, you know, I'm not going to pass that off either. That can happen in today's culture. But if you have only adversaries, then you have nobody who has your back. And that's pretty scary for a guy. So this whole idea of needing male friends, it's almost like, you know, hey, look, there's no woolly mammoth to go slay. You know, there's not another tribe coming to kill us and burn our village. Why do I even need other friends? You know, that's how I think this whole cavalier attitude towards male friendship started, is because, you know, there's not need there. I don't have adversaries, therefore I don't have the need for teammates. But then what ends up happening is it's like, huh, you know, I'm kind of lonely. I don't have any dudes to hang out with. And then that's when the guy has to say, okay, look, I either have to go find a team to be part of, literally or figuratively, you know, whether it's a bowling league or the Lions Club or whatever team you're going to be on, or else it's just going to remain the status quo and I'm not going to have any male friends and that's the way I'm going to have to like it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I wanted to pick up on what you said earlier about, you know, that sort of primal instinct to be on your guard around, you know, other guys. It's funny how many guys still feel that way in a social aspect. So it's obviously they're not worried about some guy in a bar wanting to come and kick their butt. Usually, I mean, usually they can tell they're not a totally crazy person. But there's still this sort of implicit threat and this need to feel like they need to be on guard. And I heard that a lot from guys I've spoken with, that there's this sense of worrying that they're not measuring up on some level to other men, you know, and not having this confidence to just even have the conversation with other men. And one of the surprising points I heard a lot in speaking with some of my readers was that, you know, I worry about talking to other guys because I don't appreciate traditional manly activities, which I thought was interesting, that if I'm not manly enough, maybe this manly guy is not going to want to talk to me, which if you think about it is, you know, I get the common interest part, but why would some guy be worried if you're less manly than him? You know what I mean?
Well, I think for that guy, if he's not interested in different types of events or different kinds of hobbies or pastimes that are kind of macho, I guess, for lack of a better word, and would draw a bunch of men, then he can go and find something like a Kiwanis Club or something that isn't necessarily macho, but is still going to be groups of men. You know, certainly church groups are like that. If you go to a Tuesday morning men's prayer meeting at the local church, you're going to find a lot of different kinds of guys with a lot of different personality types and a lot of interests. You know, I think especially in this day and age, you can get on meetup.com and find a group of men doing most anything. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be something macho. So I kind of think that's an excuse that the guy's like, well, you know, I just don't like motorcycles. I'm not like interested in playing in a rock band with a bunch of other dudes. I want to do something that's not quite a manly thing. I still think there are places, there are outlets for a guy to find other men to hang out with doing what he likes to do. I mean, you can do cosplay for God's sake and meet a bunch of other guys, you know, anything.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree. And I think my point was just that the worry about not being man enough to talk to a guy that you perceive to be manly is sort of a false fear.
Yeah.
Because if you think about, I mean, if you just go back to, you know, one of my relationship self-help type books, of course, is How to Win Friends and Influence People. And, you know, if you think about what one of the core messages from that book, it's really just relating to other people in a way that they want to be related to, or taking interest in another person. So that example of somebody not feeling manly enough to talk to somebody who really likes football is sort of silly if you think about it, because even if you don't love football, you can still talk to a guy who's interested in football, ask him about it, you know, and he's not going to look down on you if you're not really manly and love football too. You know, he's going to just talk about football when you ask him about football.
Well, yes and no. I think if you talk to some guys who are really into things, sometimes they do kind of get a little wonkish about it and kind of treat you like you're stupid if you don't know as much about it as they do. Like anybody can go on ESPN.com and get into the comments section when the Bears play the Broncos. And if you say something that isn't quite accurate about how their defense runs, guys will jump all over you and call you an idiot. So I think,
right,
you know, that's something you wouldn't dare do in public.
That's true. Like in Zoolander, when he says, who's winning the match?
That's exactly right.
No, totally. That there's definitely that end of the spectrum as well.
Yeah. In other words, it could go both ways. But yeah. I mean, if someone is not a Neanderthal and he's a pretty good guy and he understands that not everybody's into everything he's into, then if someone shows interest in what he does, then he's going to be gracious about that. But he also, if he's got a good head on his shoulders, is going to realize this person is making nice, you know. So to bite someone's head off who's trying to show interest in you as a human being would just be a pointer, I think, of really poor social skill. So I agree with everything you're saying in principle. It's just that I think sometimes that fear that this guy is going to bite my head off if I don't know football as well as him, unfortunately, sometimes has merit just because of how some guys can be. So,
right.
You know, it's almost like when you're asking a woman out, you fear the rejection. And it's not like it's impossible that the harsh rejection is going to happen. It's just usually it doesn't, right? Especially if you're playing it cool and you're giving the woman space and you're being a decent human being with her and respecting her as such, you know, you're not going to get shot down and she's not going to call you a little chorp or anything like that. I think that's the way it is with guys also, unless, of course, he's had a bad day or he just lacks social skill. But I think that that fear, even though it really is mostly a limiting belief, I think sometimes, you know, it can come home to roost, especially if you get on like YouTube videos or you get on, you know, the comment section of a blog and you just see how guys treat each other behind the cloak of anonymity that the internet provides. I mean, you know, it can get pretty scary, especially if you're a shy guy or have some kind of social anxiety to begin with. That just compounds it.
You brought up a good point a moment ago about comparing it to your interaction with women. I think one thing that, you know, I really recommend for guys who are wanting to make other guy friends is to recognize that, you know, when they're pursuing women, they're very comfortable with this idea that it's kind of a numbers game and comfortable with the fact that not every interaction is going to be a winning interaction. And I think that's a healthy attitude to have with making, you know, male friends as well. You know, kind of get comfortable with this idea of, you know, what I like to call the runway to friendship, establishing more weak ties, you know, getting comfortable having these acquaintances, and that's okay. But kind of the more you can get out there and meet people with different viewpoints, or even, again, people you don't know who share the same interests, you know, you don't expect that you're going to be best friends immediately. You have to get comfortable with that idea that you're going to have a rapport with some guys and others, not so much.
Right. Absolutely. One aspect of this conversation that hasn't been brought up yet is the general cheapening of friendship in today's modern culture. I mean, people will uproot their entire lives and relocate for a job that pays $5,000 more a year. And they leave all their friends behind, all their ties behind, and they don't think twice about it. Some people relocate every 2 or 3 years to a different city just for something new, something to do, and none of those friends go with them. So you have to go make another whole group of friends everywhere you go. And I think nowadays, especially with what we talked about before, I can just keep up with these people on Facebook. Or, you know, everybody I'm making friends with, they're in another place. I don't really ever get to see them, but I can talk to them on Skype. And, you know, we just distance ourselves from human beings who we consider ourselves close to. Isn't that an ironic thing? But, you know, this whole idea, not only of the distance, but of the cheapening of the friendships themselves, like it doesn't matter. These people are all throwaways. You just mentioned someone who advocated flushing all your friends and building a whole new batch of them from time to time. I would agree with you that I don't think that that's particularly healthy. I would rather have lifelong friends. But then again, if you move, you're going to lose touch with these people. It's kind of a weird dichotomy, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I think one of the factors there is technology, that we rely so much more on, and I think this is the case more so with friends than it is with family, but I think the phone is a lost art, where I think the phone is such a more intimate experience, and Skype is great too, but hearing someone's voice in your ear is such a more intimate experience than an email or a text. So it's so ironic, like you were saying, that even though it's easier to keep up with these people, if we don't make the effort to kind of maintain that intimacy of the relationship, it does get harder.
I think we just need to care more about each other as human beings, male and female, and then we'll have more friends and go do what we want to do, get involved in things, find something that's interesting to you, and you'll meet people who interest you also. And then, you know, in order to make a friend, you have to be a friend. And I think in today's culture, people are getting more and more narcissistic. All the dating advice out there seems to say, okay, look, here's how you get someone of the other gender to do what you want them to do. You know, it's becoming more and more of a me first, immediate gratification culture. And, you know, people have been complaining about that and saying that's got to end somewhere for 2 decades now. Yet it keeps spiraling out of control. Look at Tinder. You can swipe left and swipe right, you know, on women all day long, and they can do the same thing to you. I mean, it used to be back in the old school days, if a woman swiped left, you just got slapped.
That's right.
You know, but you know, people are throwaways. We're throwaways to each other because we see a picture of someone on the internet and well, they're not really human. So I'll just deal with them like a commodity and move on. And I think once we form that habit, deep friendships and even deep family ties, frankly, Kyle, all those are in jeopardy. All those are in grave danger. So I think this has been an incredibly powerful and necessary conversation to have, because I think a lot of guys really do wonder about it and want the solution. And I think we've given it to them. So what I want to do now is give these guys a chance to visit your website. You've mentioned it several times. You write great articles, including one that went viral on this very topic. And guys, that's thedistilledman.com. As I always do, I'm going to give you a URL that you can go to and check it out. You're used to hearing me say thechickwhisperer.com/Kyle, K-Y-L-E. If you go there, that'll be fine, but it's time to get into the new name of the podcast. So let's go to mountaintoppodcast.com/Kyle, K-Y-L-E, and you'll find out all the wonderful things that Kyle's doing to help us as guys there. And I believe, Kyle, you also have a free report you give guys when they sign up for your newsletter, right?
Yeah, I've got a 42-page free ebook called 48-Hour Gentleman. And the idea is really just to give guys a starting point to become a better man over the course of one weekend.
Terrific. And guys, go ahead and go to mountaintoppodcast.com, where you'll get show notes for this page, see our new logo and all its glory, and learn more about Kyle and our other guests. And when you're there, sign up for my newsletter too, where you'll get free actionable tips and advice on how to get better with women, how to be a better man. It comes right to your inbox. And I always put my heart and soul into everything I write for you guys. There's also a YouTube channel that you can check out. It's under my name, Scott McKay, where you'll see some professionally done videos on how to get better with women there too. So once again, I want to thank you, Kyle, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Scott.
It's been a great show. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is copyright 2016 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.